This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Hello again from TF Metals Report, and welcome back to your podcast highlights for the week of March 4th through March the 8th, 2024. Again, a daily podcast summary with charts, news headlines, everything you need to know about the day that was is just part of what you get as a subscriber at TF Metals Report. It's only $15 a month, and boy, oh boy, with that gold price breakout finally occurring, there's no better time like the present than joining us 50 cents a day to be a part of the best precious metals community on the internet. I would surely suggest that you check us out. Back on Monday the 4th, in our podcast, we noted that things were following up strong to the finish of the previous week, where gold went out at all-time highs on the daily and weekly chart. The shares were rallying too, which is nice. We had caught the bottom earlier in the week last week with that little island reversal in the GDX. Gapped higher on Thursday, rallied Friday, and then rallied again on Monday, and that's all part of what we discussed Monday, March the 4th. That helps the shares. Look at this move in the GDX. Again, we talked about this last week. That pretty strong double bottom just below, I don't know, what's called 2565, something like that. Came down there in October and then came down here and bounced twice from that level in late February with the island reversal Wednesday of last week. Gap down Wednesday of last week, gap back up on Thursday, and now it's rolling back above its 50-day moving average for the first time since early January. Next key level is 29, then the 200-day, and then, of course, obviously 30. I said if we get above 2750, we'd probably go to 30. Now we only need a point and a half to get there. And if we go to 30, what does that tell you about the metals prices? So that'd probably work too. If you're a regular listener to these podcast summaries, and you know that we track the dollar index almost every day at TF Metals Report, it's not that every day brings an inverse trade where the dollar goes up and gold goes down. But what happens is in an uptrend of the dollar, you kind of have a wind in your face. But in a downtrend of the dollar, you get a nice tailwind for precious metals prices. So we're watching those trends. There's potential here for the dollar index to roll over and break its uptrend that began very late in 2023. So we're watching it closely, and it's part of what we discussed on Tuesday the 5th. Again, we're going to watch a dollar index very closely. This 104 level, pretty important, okay? And yeah, I mean, you can see how important it's been since November, either support or resistance. Right now, it's acting as resistance and has so for the last couple of weeks. We shall see what happens next. I mean, could it be kind of putting in a little bull here? Could it be out ready to spike above 104, go back to 105? Possible. We're going to get our answers over the next 72 hours. A breakdown through 103.5 down toward 103 would obviously be very good for us. We will continue monitoring it closely. Our always free and always public Thursday conversation was posted on Wednesday this week, and the guest was renowned author James Kunstler. Jim is a brilliant guy, and it was really fun to talk to him. It's about a 35-minute podcast. I would strongly encourage you to go to TF Metals Report. Right on the homepage is the link to the podcast. Again, it's available for anyone to listen. You don't have to be a subscriber. It's right there for you. Just click on the link and away you go. If you got 35 minutes to spend on a treadmill, maybe driving around this weekend, which again, strongly urge you to give it a listen. Here is just a small snippet of what Jim and I discussed in this week's conversation.
Yeah, and speaking of Robespierre, you know, I'm a great fan of studying the French Revolution in relation to what we're going through now, especially the Jacobin phase of it. Yeah. French Revolution was a very, very complex, drawn-out affair. And I don't think most Americans really, you know, have a clue about how it went, you know, what the scenario was. But about two-thirds of the way through it, and it started in 1789, and in 1793, the Jacobin faction, which was essentially the same as the extreme left in America today, They got control of the government through the National Assembly, which was their provisional legislature. And they formed this committee called the Committee of Public Safety. you know, which was actually the committee that sent between 20 and 40,000 people to the guillotine. And they also had this program for turning French life, daily life, upside down. They did weird things, like they changed the week from a 7-day week to a 10-day week. They added another month to the calendar. They abolished the Catholic Church, which, whether you like it or not, a lot of people were invested in one way or another, psychologically, in France in the 18th century. And in short, they disordered daily life pretty badly. Mm-hmm. They also caused an inflation to occur by printing paper money called assignats. And so they did pretty much the same thing that the American left has been doing for the last 10 years here. And the effect in America, of course, has been to very badly disorder American life and turn Americans against each other. And now the catch is that the Jacobins were overthrown in one night in, I guess, July of 1794. They only ran for a little less than a year in power. And when they were overthrown, you know, Robespierre got up to the rostrum in the National Assembly, or what they had, I think they had changed the name of it at that point. But he got up to the rostrum as usual. And instead of people listening to him, they started throwing food at him, you know. And before long, there was pandemonium in the chamber. And they chased the Jacobins out, and their leadership hid out in the City Hall of Paris, the Hotel de Ville. And they eventually caught up with them, and they took them out and cut off their heads the next day, and they were never heard of again.
You don't have to worry about them anymore.
Their program was abolished, like, literally overnight. All that bullshit was over overnight. And it didn't really rear its head again until the Bolsheviks showed up in 1917 and, you know, laid their trip on Russia.
It was back to business on Thursday the 7th. And we're hoping that gold's going to finish out the week strong. One thing we've noticed, though, is silver's struggling to catch up, where gold's been adding long interest, a lot of speculative money rushing into COMEX gold. The rally in silver thus far has mainly been short covering. Haven't seen a big rush yet. Got to get silver to break out. Gold's broken out of its range, but silver still needs to get to 26 and then 28 to generate that same type of momentum that gold has. But we'll keep an eye on it. And the chart of COMEX silver was one that we discussed, again, Thursday, March the 7th. Silver, on the other hand, it's at least moving forward. Again, the next target, now that it got to the red line, the 200-day, held it as support for a couple days and now is moving higher again, certainly looks like 25. But if the dollar keeps falling, we're going to go back to these highs of early December, up there 26, 26.50. So let's see what happens tomorrow. On the dip, if there is one, that might be something where I'm looking to gamble. I'll let you know what happens. On Friday, March the 8th, COMEX Gold is going to finish up its strongest week in years, with price up $90 from the COMEX close last Friday. If you listen to these weekly podcast summaries, you'll recall that last Friday we were sure to note that all-time high weekly close for COMEX Gold. And how once that happened, it might open the floodgates as everybody rushes in, recognizing that new all-time high. That's exactly what happened this week. Price now up 7 days in a row. A lot of open interest rushing in, too. Open interest up 25%, 100,000 contracts from where it was 3 weeks ago. So it's unlikely that gold's going to do another $90 next week. But you may know that in my macrocast, my annual forecast of each of the last 2 years, last year and this year, we said 2300 would be the initial target once we got that breakout above 2100, and certainly appears to be the case. In fact, the front month April gold hit 2202 here on Friday. So we're headed there, probably not next week, but perhaps as soon as the run-up to the next FOMC meeting in a couple of weeks. We'll see. All I know for sure is that we ended up very strong, a very strong week. good to see gold doing what we've been expecting it to do. Have a great weekend, and please come back next week for your next edition of the TF Metals Report podcast highlights.